Hi, welcome Brent. We're back to another issue of the Brent and Ozzy show.
Hi Ozzy, how are you today?
Well, I'm great. The thing is that we have had an incredible week. I put out the OzBuzz newsletter last weekend, and I made a point that because the government is publishing the inflation rate, incredible strikes that are going on around North America, what does it all mean, right, in terms of real estate? And so today we want to talk about the fact that you're going to share with us that there's some real price reductions out there.
Perfect. Well, and there really are, Ozzy. You know, I know that the stats right now, you know, we keep on saying that the sales are down, the listings are up, but the prices are remaining stable. Well, you know, that's on an average, right? And what does Ozzy Jurok always say? You can't put one hand in boiling hot water and another one in freezing cold and on average be warm. You're uncomfortable, for goodness sakes. And you know, this market is a little bit uncomfortable for both the buyers and the sellers. You know, there's definitely people out there that want to buy a property right now, their first home, you know, their first condo. And there's people that are trying to sell and they need to sell. So it's an interesting marketplace for sure right now.
Well, it makes the importance of a professional realtor even more important, because that's really the job, to get the buyer and the seller to sing from the same song sheet. But the problem is our economy is the debts out there. The United States at $35 trillion, it's $1 trillion worth of interest payments. Imagine a trillion, most people don't realize trillion, billion. Well, a trillion is $1 million houses. That's a lot of money, right? And then our GST is totally soaked up by the interest we pay in Canada on our debt. I don't know, people say, wow, it's going to be inflation. Well, I wrote in my newsletter that that's the key question. My first book in 1998, by the way, the NDP was in power then too. We survived. But the point is, in that book I wrote, forget about location. The key is there going to be an inflationary environment that we're in, or is it going to be deflationary? And Milton Friedman, who is sort of my guru, he said, inflation is primarily a monetary phenomena. And I put that in every one in my books, and you in several of my books. And we made the point that inflation will be the outcome. But we're going to have some valleys to go through. And maybe right now, it's that focal point that we have to, where are we going to go? And so when we look, what is inflationary out there? Well, strikes. You know, I used to be on a radio show on CKNW long time ago. And I had a system whereby the more strikes there were, the more likely was that inflation would be the outcome. Because, you know, I said with Michael Campbell on Michael Campbell Show just a few months ago, I said, the guy goes home, says, how come we're eating noodles? And the woman says, hey, you're bringing home noodle money. So he goes to his boss, he says, I need a raise. And he gives him, oh, well, the government says rate is 2%. I give you 2%. He goes back home and his wife hits him with a frying pan. Nothing is up 2%. And I said in the newsletter, it's 25% really over the last 4 years. And so is that going to be the outcome then on real estate? Well, the strikers, the port workers got a 62% deal for 6 years. That's 10% a year. The Boeing workers rejected 31% over 3 years. That's 10%. The auto workers got a 3-year, 8% plus deal. The Canada pilots get a retroactive deal to September 23, and they got a 26% rate of increase now. And over the next 5 years, it looks like about 9.5%. So that's clearly inflationary, right? So say, okay, if that's inflationary, what did the Bank of Canada come up with on Tuesday? Inflation rate is 1.6%, far below their target of 2%. Well, that is actually deflationary. So is it any wonder that our buyers and sellers are ripping out their hairs? You know, which way is it going to go, right? And so what we're going to do is, the reality is that the buyers are stressed. People are stressed. There's insolvencies are rising. We got bankruptcies in the developer sector. And I could, there was a story publication came out with about 9 developments that were in trouble in Vancouver and 11 that were in trouble in Toronto. And that's nothing as compared to, if you go to YouTube, all the things that are going on. And now, in addition to that, you have Remax coming out yesterday and saying, listings in the Fraser Valley up 60%, and Toronto up there 50%, in Calgary they're up 50%. Everywhere listings are higher, there's more product out, and there's no doubt in my mind that certainly short term, you need a good realtor to make those offers and maybe get that deal of a lifetime. What's going out there in the market?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Ozzy. You know, I'm going to share some examples of properties that look like good opportunities based on previous sales. But I mean, even properties right now, for example, that just sold in the last 10 days, you know, one of the properties here was listed for, let's look at the number here. It was listed for $1,150,000 and it sold for $1,060,000. So that's a $90,000 drop. And that house was only on the market for 10 days. So this is one of
because
the
because it was well priced.
Exactly. It was well priced, but there was still $90,000 left on the price, you know. And another one, it was listed at $1,199,000, Aussie. And it sold for $1 million, and you like this number, and $77,000. I know you like sevens. And so that's $129,000 off the price. You know, so, you know, you definitely need a good realtor that knows the market and sees what's going on. And like you always say, write a stink bid. Well, some of these stink bids aren't stink bids anymore. You know, they're just good negotiation because the owners are looking for an opportunity to get out. If they're, you know, we always used to say, what's the motivation of the owners? Very important to always know. And sometimes, what's the motivation of the realtor? When was the last time the realtor made a sale? Sometimes they'll be more motivated and, you know, and highly suggesting you take an offer, not because they're looking at their best interest, but, you know, they know what's going on. They haven't had a sale in a while and they know that things are not moving the way they used to. So, you know, you definitely need to be priced well, and then you still need to be flexible. So you do need to have room for negotiations right now. Like there was a property that we were quite interested in. We didn't have interest in it originally. They were listed for $1,925,000, Aussie. So, you know, that was because one of the neighbors the year before had sold fairly close to that price. So it was listed for $1,925,000. Then it was reduced to, just to get these numbers right, it was reduced to $1,849,000. So $1,849,000. So that's a fairly big drop too. You know, $75,000. Oh, by the way, it was listed originally in May for $1,925,000. Okay. In June, it was reduced to $1,849,000. In July, it was reduced to $1,765,000 on July the 10th. And then on July 19th, it dropped again to $1,699,000. August 7th, it was dropped to $1,600,000. And a long story short, it sold for $1,580,000. Now that it was priced right, it got almost full price, you know, but that's down over almost $350,000 from the original price. Now, looking at the assessed value, for example, the assessment's $1,720,000.
So it was a good buy for the buyer.
Yeah, it sold for exactly. It sold for $1,580,000 and it was assessed at $1,720,000. So the reality of it is that, you know, there's still some room, you know, and then they did get it sold. They needed it sold, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the assessments usually are from the previous July. So when you look at the assessments today, that's really as of July 2, 2024, I guess, right? So whatever the market was then. Exactly. But the key is it's you have to be priced right. It doesn't mean that you have to give it away. But a lot of development owners right now, they're still dreaming about the prices that were, right? Well, my neighbor got this much. And then interest rates are coming down. So prices are going to go up. That's what the owner thinks. Well, the buyer says, wait, just a minute. Interest rates are coming down. My mortgage is going to be a heck of a lot cheaper. And all this confusion out there, the bankruptcies, the strikes, the layoffs, all of that stuff, I'm just going to sit and wait. And so never shall the twain meet. Well, that's why you need a good realtor that understands the motivation of the individual and has the best interest at heart, because the best interest is to put them together and make a deal, right? Because the owner wants to sell, the buyer wants to buy. It just usually is a matter of the price or some other issue.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I've always said this, and, you know, it's a famous quote by Brent Roberts. I always say assessments. You know, one thing for sure, I can guarantee you that the house will either sell at assessed value, it'll sell either at assessed value, it'll sell below assessed value, or it'll sell above assessed value. That I guarantee you. You know, like, I mean, the assessment, sometimes you wonder how the heck, like I had a property, it was listed, you know, the government assessment was, what was it? Here, let me look at it. The government assessment was 1,788. So, or 1,795, I guess it was 1,795. So we listed it, even though I thought it was high, we listed it at 1,788 just to test it. You know, we didn't get anybody to look at it. So we dropped $100,000. You know, now it's 1,688. We really didn't get much attention at that price either. So we dropped it to 1,598. And then we got multiple offers and sold it for $1,575,000, basically, right? You know, so we got pretty close to the price, but that's a couple $100,000 less than the assessed value, you know, and this is the recent assessment. I mean, not 3 years ago, it was this year's assessment. So, you know, there's reasons sometimes the assessment authorities don't necessarily always get it correct as well. You know, maybe one neighbor sold and spiked up the whole neighborhood, for example. You know,
so it's particularly true, let's say, when you go into, say, February, and then you're looking at last July's assessment, the market changed. But the market right now is in a flux, I mean, right across the US and Canada. And more people, particularly on the condo side, there's a lot of product. In Surrey itself, there's 45% increase in active condo listings. So you have a lot of choice. There is several thousand condos for sale in the Lower Mainland. And it's always the same thing. If there's a lot of product, prices will be affected. And if there's no product, prices will be affected on the way up.
You're absolutely right. For example, you know, in a rising market, like I've been in this game for 35 years, you've been in it as long, actually longer. And I, you know, not talking about how youthful we are, but, you know, we've been around for a long time and we've seen a lot of cycles and a lot of changes in the marketplaces, you know, and you see if a condo is on the marketplace and it had it, like, for example, in April, it sold for $595,000. A good condo, and now you're getting even a better one, a higher floor, a better view. The other one was obstructed, and the condition was not as good. You know, and now we're selling it for $50,000 cheaper, and that's just since April or May last year. Yeah. This year, you know, so you're seeing that. So you know, during these cycles, what we're finding is that if you see a house that a condo that sold for $600,000. In the old days, if the market was going up, you'd price a new one at 625 or 638, you know, something like that. Now, if you see the last sale was 600, you're dropping the price to 575 because the last sales are not indicative of what they could sell for. They're indicative of what the ceiling was because that was the wrong way. We're heading in a negative marketplace just because there's so many products on the market. Again, if people aren't serious about selling and they're not needing to sell, it's not a bad idea to take it off the marketplace so that the ones that are more serious, you know, so the stats don't look so bad as well. And when they're more serious about selling, they can get their house on the market.
Well, the facts are, and I got these facts from a realtor that's on the internet. And since I don't know whether he wants me to mention his name, I'm not going to, but he said that the 6,631 active condo listings in Surrey Central and 34 accepted offers last month. So that is a huge thing. Then he says there's 103 assignments. That is where people don't want to complete, right? So that is increasing, that number. And then there are tenanted units, and I find from a lot of realtors, they don't want to show tenanted units. I mean, right now, if I were to take a listing as a tenanted unit, because it's the middle of the month, I can only give you 3 full months. I must give the tenant 3 full months notice. So that means starting November 1, December 1, I can't even write an offer for closing. And then he has 3 weeks to dispute it. So by the time the smoke clears, if I have a buyer now, they usually want to move in on November 1 or December 1 at least. But then I would have to wait almost till February. So a lot of realtors just don't want to do them anymore. So,
Here's another point, Ozzy. You're absolutely right. For example, let's say you bought a pre-sale and now you had to complete on it because you couldn't sell that assignment. So now you've completed on it, you hire a property manager. A property manager likes to tie up the, you know, they want to put a tenant in for a 1 year lease because it's easier for them and it makes it a lot more, you know, stable and things like that for both the owners. I always tell people, I don't know if I would sign a lease because you as the owner is the only one responsible for that lease, you know. And what happens is that now, you know, again, a couple of years ago, if I had something tenant occupied and there was 5 months left on the lease, I could get them to see it and show it and maybe sell it for more than it was worth. Why? Because there was not a lot of other choices. Today, if you have something, like you just said, Austin, if you have something with a tenant in it, you know, and you have to go through that on a month-to-month notice, and you got to give them 3 months notice. Plus, if it's the middle of the month, it's really 3.5 months, and then you've got to give them, then you've got time to dispute the notice as well. Heck, if you've just put somebody in August and they're here till next August, my gosh, you've really put the nail in the coffin. And, you know, because I, as a realtor, heck, there's a lot of empty units right there now. So I could show an empty one. Why would I want to wait till you can get an appointment through a tenant and have all that hassle when I can just buy an empty one right now?
Well, it's also for the buyer. The buyer wants to move. I mean, you're driving them around now and they want to move in somewhere. They don't want to wait till February the 1st. And so a lot of the things that government has done, particularly in British Columbia and now in Ontario, they have a slew of regulations as well, have literally had the opposite effect as to what the government intended. The whole short-term rentals, there's a great, at the British Columbia Real Estate Association website, they have taken issue with a lot of the government initiatives that they're, and look, they all do it with the best of intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And the intentions were to increase the housing stock, and yet we've had the opposite effect as people have backed off, investors have backed off. Developers saying, I can't get my minimum things sold. I'm backing off. I'm hearing now in Vancouver, several developers at the end of the month have closed off. And they will, now they may come back to the market when conditions are better, but right now they couldn't get enough sales to get the 60% they need for financing. So you have all that overhanging in the market. And so the buyer clearly is confused, you know, what's going to happen, you know, and in the end, they're going to just wait. But for the savvy buyer, and maybe we can finish it off like that, Warren Buffett said, when everybody's crying, you should be buying. You know, so maybe this is the time, and people saying, well, what is a lowball offer? What can I do? What would you suggest that people could say? I have a listing at $1.5 million. What would be a low offer that would be unreasonable or reasonable?
Well, I sold a property the other day for $1.25 million. The same day I sold it, which was my asking price, by the way. So we did get asking price. And the same day I got an offer for $1,050,000. So, you know, you've got somebody writing an offer $200,000 less. Now, my comment to a realtor as well, hey, if you can find me a good deal like that, I'll buy it myself. you know, because it was already a fair price at $1,250,000. You know, however, you know, a lot of people are still writing offers like that. So, you know, you really have to do the due diligence, because you might find that it's really worth full price. And you might find that $100,000 is well overpriced still, you know, so it depends on that situation. You know, like one of the things, like you're saying about Warren Buffett, now he's got billions and billions and billions of dollars, but he's
cash.
Not in cash. Exactly. He's not scared of the marketplace. He's waiting to find the right deal.
Right.
You know,
and it's not just him. I mean, I have a list of 11 billionaires that all got out of the market, including some of the biggest names. I mean, Bezos from Amazon. I mean, they sold like not all of it, but 60% of their holdings. And we're talking billions and billions. Ackman sold 40 billion. And the Michael Burry, who forecast the last recession, he apparently now he doesn't have to disclose everything, but he sold over $16 billion of real estate, all in this last month, stocks, I should say. So these guys are expecting something in the stock market, and maybe a lot of the buyers out there are expecting something in the real estate market. But sometimes the owner that has to sell now, I want to be with my grandchildren in Ontario. I paid only $800,000 for it. Okay, I was hoping to get $1.7 million, but I'll take $1.4 million. And you'll never find out until you make the offer.
Exactly. You know, as a matter of fact, before I became a realtor, you know, I always remember when I'd buy places and the realtor would say to me, boy, if I knew they would have taken that little, I would put an offer in myself. Yeah. You know, people don't know what they'll take or what their motivation is.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, so would you say if I offer 10% less, that's not unreasonable?
No, I mean, there was a house, as a matter of fact, you know, for $2.3 million that just sold for $2 million. So, I mean, that's $300,000 or 15% off. So it really depends on how overpriced It is, and really how much motivation there is in the seller. I mean, let's face it, if you've got something that's sitting there and you're a builder and it's just sitting there empty, you know, getting the cash before Christmas would be a really nice thing to do, even if it's not exactly the amount of cash, but then you stop the bleeding.
Well, I think it's complicated, right? The interest rates, are they going to go up? Are they going to go down? I learned the day before yesterday, somebody got a 4.1% 5-year term still, right? Even though the bond rate in the United States is actually going the other way, it's going up, which would mean that fixed rates might be not coming down as we had hoped. Even if the government goes down 0.25%, our government, or 0.50%, that affects the overnight rate, it affects the prime rate, which is essentially the variable rates, right? So, but you need, in this kind of environment, you need a professional realtor. You want somebody that practices his or her profession, not practices on you, right? That's the same with a mortgage broker. You, in this world, you know, particularly if you're an investor, you need to understand somebody can look at you and say, you know what, we don't bother with the banks with you. For you, I think we should go to this institution or a credit union, or the broker will have a better understanding on where he can get approved. And he is very interested in getting you approved because that's how he gets paid. And exactly. So at this particular time, I think you can go down payments on a pre-sale deal as low as 5%. If you do have more down payment, let's say you have to pay 15%, you can get deals where they pay you interest of 12%. That's not bad over 5 years to make 12% while you wait. Heck, that sounds like pretty good. I've seen deals with a $25,000 discount, discounts of $15,000. And then this is something, I know you don't want to hear that, but some realtors are getting $40,000 commission on a $400,000 sale. Well, maybe as a buyer, you should ask for a kickback. No, I'm just kidding. But there is a lot of money on the table floating around that wasn't there 2 years ago or a year ago or even 3 months ago. And sometimes you have to listen to Buffett.
Absolutely. The other thing is, like you're saying, the intentions of the government, you know, like, you know, when Trudeau put that stress test in, you know, he wanted to prevent a boom and a bust. And what did he actually do? He created a boom and a bust. The average price in Surrey from 2006 to 2016 was basically $200,000. And when he put the stress test on, guess what? Prices in condos in Surrey went up to 400, 450. Yeah, incredible. So there you go. And then because of that, you know, when the stress test was now in place, the prices went down to 350, 375. So, you know, kids, some of these kids were wiped out and it didn't get fixed until the interest rate went to free during COVID. Yeah. You know, now one of the things you're talking about is that, and you, what we're talking about is these great opportunities right now with the opportunity to buy a pre-sale with 5% down, or, you know, get some kickbacks or some incentives or interest on your money. The great thing about it is that these developers, when they're not going ahead and building and they're scared and there's some slowdown, guess what? That means in a few years from now, we're going to have a shortage. We're going to have a shortage. So you're going to be so grateful for the stuff you bought today. You know, again, use a good realtor that knows what they're doing, but there's going to be some opportunity that you'll be very happy that you were in. You were listening to Ozzy and Brent today, and that you've taken opportunity and you made some decisions to go forward. You do have to be careful because there is some scary times still, but there's some great opportunities out there, Ozzy.
Well, and the thing is this, so as a buyer, I should take a look, where do I live? You live where the whole world wants to live, right? I mean, you can go swimming and skiing in the same day in the summer. Where can you do that, right? So number one. Number two is, are we printing a lot of money that we never can pay back? Yeah. Is that inflationary? Yeah. Okay, so maybe right now is a time where we might actually see a decline, or we might go into, some people are arguing that the spring is going to be the market or whatever. But the key is this, no matter what you bought or when you bought at the previous crash in 1987 or 1992 or 15% interest rates or unbelievably difficult situations in terms of financing, through all of that, even a big financial crisis, had you just bought a house, not become a big investor, just bought a house or a condo somewhere, you're up on a percentage basis 1,000% because you bought that $1 million place with 100,000 down and now it's 2 million. You know, you're looking at all of the things that you could have bought and didn't buy because of leverage, real estate was the best thing to do. But as you point out, you need to be careful, right? So you got to pick a professional realtor, 100%. You pick a professional mortgage broker, somebody that's been around for a while. Pick a good area. Pick a good building. I mean, you know, in every building, there's lousy units and good units. You know, make sure that you talk to and look at. I mean, today's buyer is spending a lot of time on the internet anyways. He or she is more informed than ever before because they have more choice. But look around it. If you're looking at an assignment, go take it to a lawyer. Look at the assignment clause. If you buy a pre-sale, what is an assignment rights that you have? And what is the cost? The deposits, all of those things, you know, make sure that you do that first. And then don't be scared. Make some offers, find a realtor that will write them.
And you're right, Ozzy. Make sure you do your homework, like you're saying, and then be aggressive. You're in a good marketplace for that right now. You know, definitely seen offers that weren't accepted, and now the prices are lower than they originally were offered. So there's some opportunities out there.
There always is. Thanks, Brent. See you next week.
Thanks, Ozzy.